This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Real Repentance Part 1, was delivered on October 6, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Eternal glory. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Go ahead, ushers. Good morning, New Hope. Isn't it a beautiful day? I mean, all week was kind of off and on and rain and then sunny, rain and then sunny, and you feel like when Manapua just getting steamed all day long. And all week long, I said, Lord, please give us sunshine for our water baptism. And I mean, you cannot be surprised, right? Because God is God, and he hears our prayers. And when it's sunny, sometimes it's like, why am I surprised? Because I serve a wonderful God. I mean, right? And even if it did rain, we would have a whole coconut island to ourselves, because everybody else would be afraid of the rain. And all the fishermen would be happy because nobody else fishing but them. But yeah, just, you know, it's so beautiful when God blesses us, he answers us and says, thank you. The other day, me and my wife was in our room, and I was listening to some old Amy Grant songs, and she started singing along with me, and we were singing in a room, and we were just having a blast, just singing praises to our God. And I think, like, man, cannot wait to get to heaven, because we'll be doing that all day, singing and praising and worshiping God. And not only that, it's going to be a place where we're not going to be suffering. We don't need to worry about our bills or our taxes or all those things. And it's like, wow, I think, what a wonderful place. And the desire is that we bring as many people along with us as we can. Amen. Whew. So I've been reading a lot lately, which is really good, because towards the middle of the year, I actually started slacking. I think maybe it was because it was like in the middle of baseball season, and sometimes I get caught up on watching sports. And I'm human like you, and I do get caught up in things. And I kind of slacked off reading for the middle part of the year. And over the last couple of months, I've been getting more into reading. At night before I go to bed, I read. During the day, I read. In the doctor's office, I read. In the airport, I read. And I've been getting so many things. I notice when I read, oh, I tell you, the voice of God comes clearer, and he confirms all the things I'm doing. So today we're going to talk about repentance. You know, sin, repentance, you know, you always hear about, okay, you sin, you repent, you sin, you repent. Kind of like two words you always kind of hear together, like peanut butter and... Yeah, bread and sin and yeah, you kind of hear those words together. And you know, I talked about sin earlier this year. It was really not an easy thing to do, but I did. Some people say that, you know, we don't hear messages on sin. We don't hear messages. How many messages have you ever heard on hell? I cannot raise my hand because I never heard one in church. And, you know, hell, I was talking to Pastor Jay one the other day. He told me, you know that hell is mentioned more in the Bible than heaven? I go, really? I never checked, but that's what he said. But yeah, I never heard a sermon on hell. I read chapters on hell, and I read books and stuff, and I read verses about hell, but I never did speak about hell. And, you know, it is going to come sooner or later, because I've been getting a lot of it lately. But I spoke about sin, and nobody likes to hear about sin. And maybe repentance is kind of in that area, like, oh, again, repentance. And we look at it, and we need to do it. And the definition of repent is to turn from sin, to dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life, to feel regret or contrition, to change one's mind. It's basically telling you to, you know, go the other way. It's like repent, because you're going the wrong directions and you repent. So quickly, why do we need to repent? Because in the first one, it reveals our heart, you know, our humility, our honesty. It takes a lot of humility to admit when we are wrong. How many of you have an easy time saying, I'm wrong, it's my fault? Okay, you guys are honest. Nobody raised their hand. You know what? That's one I can cross off the list. Sermon on honesty. Because everybody at Yopoisoa is honest. Yeah. It takes honesty to admit we are wrong and we cannot do things on our own. The next one, it allows healing to begin. When we can admit and repent our shortcomings, it allows God to come in and help us deal with our responses, our offenses that are made against us. And sometimes we think, well, I'm not wrong with the way we respond, but maybe our attitude was how we did it, and we need to realize that we need to repent and let God begin to heal us. Repenting helps us to grow spiritually because we have to accept responsibility when we make mistakes. How many of you got caught for speeding and you were speeding and you made excuses? Like, I was always taught to keep a B in your car. So when the policeman pulls you over, I don't B, look, here, see, I killed it. Okay, why is it crunchy then? You know? Okay, we gotta be responsible when we sin and we repent. Now, don't do that and tell them I told you to, okay? Okay, we gotta accept responsibility. When we make mistakes, when we mess up, we say, you know what, it was my fault. I blew it, I screwed up, forgive me, I'm sorry, and I want to repent. I want to make a change. It helps us on a journey toward a spiritual and emotional maturity. And it takes time because we have to learn to always make the right choices and to walk in the freedom that God has given us. Why repent? Because it builds trust in our relationship. We're all humans, we all make mistakes, we step on each other's toes. We have difference of opinions, and there will be times when we disagree with one another, and we may get angry. Well, when we can say sorry, we can repent, and we can forgive one another, we can build trust in our relationships, in this fellowship. Why repent? I think this is one of the most important ones. It diffuses Satan's tactics. Man, because you know the enemy? It's okay. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He likes to point out our faults, entices us to focus on our faults rather than the truth found in God's word. He loves to remind us of the wrongs that we do and the wrongs that people have done to us. How many of you had something done wrong to you and you replay it over and over and over, and then the more you keep replaying it over and over in your mind, you get mad and mad and mad, and then the enemy is like, I got you where I want you. We stir up the bitterness and anger. And he knows that, Satan knows that it'll cut us from the fellowship with God. And by repenting, we refuse to give in to our enemy. If you have your Bibles, split it in the middle, and where are you going to end up? Psalms 51. So I want you to be in Psalms 51. Psalms 51 was written by David, the king, and it was written in a time when he was found out of his sin, of his adultery with Bathsheba. If you recall, it was a time in the spring when the kings, they go out to fight wars, but David was kind of like, nah, I'm kind of going cruise. I want to take it easy, and he was on his roof. He seen Bathsheba taking a bath. I don't know, I guess that's how it is back there. You take a bath on your roof. The roofs were flat, yeah, back then, not like this, because you'd roll off if it was this kind of roof. And so he said, go get her. And one of his guards went to get her. He committed adultery with her. She got pregnant. He tried to cover that up by sending her husband to the fiercest part of the front lines of the battle. And when they were at that point, he commanded the leader to pull back, and Uriah was there. He got killed. So he tried to cover up his adultery by killing her husband. And then I think probably a year or so later, Nathan the prophet confronted him. and told him about his sin. And then he repented, and in Psalms 51 he said, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sins is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight." So we can keep, you can look at the rest later. But when we read this, and we understand that it was written by King David after his sin with Bathsheba, we can realize sometimes look at our confessions and look at our repentance, and we might think, well, it's kind of lacking compared to how detailed David is. And we often think of repentance as a statement. It's like, you know what? I'm sorry. Forgive me. Okay. Check. Done. Walk away. Right? I mean, it's done. We did it. But if we look at Psalm 51 closely, we can see that repentance is turning away from sin, turning towards God, a process that doesn't just take away our guilt, but it should bring us great joy. You know, have you ever been going down the road and you realize you was going the wrong way? I was in San Diego the other week, and I passed the parking lot, and I was looking for parking. It's like, oh, shoot, I passed the opening. I'm going to turn right and guarantee you another opening for the parking lot. Well, I turned right only to see four lanes of cars coming at me. Tourists! Hello! That's the kind of guys we cuss at, yeah? It's like, oh, I had to repent quickly, man. As soon as there was an opening, I made a whoosh, back out the door. Like, and I told my wife, oh, what a knucklehead I am. I wanted to kick myself. I think, like, oh, you stupid. I mean, and then when we walk past the stuff, see, there's that one-way sign. I just didn't see it. Oh. I tell you, I've done stupid things in my life. This is one of the ones that tops the list, man. Whew. Yeah. And, you know, I had to do maybe God did that so I would have an illustration of repent. Just turn, and you know you're going the wrong way when you see cars coming at you. And just, good thing I was there. Right after, like, the first car or in the second car, I had one space enough to make me one U-turn, breaking all the traffic laws and everything else. Forgive me, I am a sinner. I do make mistakes. And so, at one point in time, I found my life going 100 miles an hour straight down to hell. Literally, I was just so bad. And I think I hit rock bottom, and I knew I needed to do something different. And that's when I got up one Sunday morning, and I told my wife I'm going to church with her, and I don't know what was going through her mind when she said that. She said, oh my goodness. After 8 years, Lord, finally, he will listen. And finally, you will answer my prayers. And she must have went, I don't know what she was thinking when I did get up, but I knew I needed to make a U-turn across. If not, I would have kept going and I would have ended up there. But repenting and receiving forgiveness from God can lead to a really, really, really great relationship with others, because leaves us nothing left to hide. When we repent, we change our lives. So how do we grow in a joy-giving habit of repentance? First one, we have to define the sin. Number one, define the sin. In Psalms 51, David says, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgression." Would you underline transgression? "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity." Would you underline iniquity? "And cleanse me from my sin." Would you underline sin? "For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." So I think the first thing we need to do is to the meaningful of the confession is we need to understand what sin is. And David uses three words here for sin in Psalm 51. Iniquity, sin, and transgression. Each term has been deliberately chosen for its unique meaning in the Hebrew. Transgression implies rebellion against God's authority and law. Iniquity means distortion of what should be. To explain it, meaning literally crookedness, to distort kind of the truth. And sin is defined as missing the mark. And David is making it clear that sin is deep and there is no making a minimum of it or excusing it. So did any of us rebel against the truth? I think against God's laws. Have we distorted the truth, the law of the Bible? And are we missing the mark God set before us? But these are the three things David uses for his sin. But no matter what, no matter transgression, iniquity, or sin, sin is sin. Whether it's any of these three, it's still sin. So that's the definition of sin. And if any of us has done any of this, we need to repent. Next thing, appeal to God's mercy. Psalm 51, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression. So in this psalm, expresses one of the clearest examples of repentance in all of the scriptures. You know, countless broken sinners, as we find and we look at these words, and we can see that expression, we can see David's heart, and we can see the deep need that we need for God's mercy and forgiveness. David's confession can help us examine excuses, examine half-hearted repentance, examine lack of sorrow over sin that can keep us from experiencing the pardon. David's words also demonstrate the place of hope with confession. Here, he appeals for forgiveness based on God's character and what he knows about God's mercy. David knows that God is committed to him because they have a covenant together. You and I, we have a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. So we know that God is loving. We know that God is merciful. So when we repent, we kind of like we appeal to God's love and his mercy. Number three, we cannot blame or get defensive. David's sin hurt multiple bunch of people. He committed adultery, he orchestrated a murder, and he tried to cover it up. And yet he says to God, against you, and you only have I sinned. How is that? Because he kind of sinned against Uriah and Bathsheba and all those. And if we think of sin as failing to hit the mark, missing the mark, then we got to, whose mark are we missing? Is it man's mark? God's mark. It's God's mark. So although we sin against others and we hurt others, ultimately it's a sin against God. But ultimately we still need to ask others for forgiveness. Yeah? But David says against you and you only. But yes, it is against God and truly only God. But it is against others. So it doesn't excuse us from asking forgiveness from others. Look in, and we cannot blame, we cannot get defensive. Look in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, and this is Adam. The man said, that's Adam. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. How's that? The first thing when God went confront him about eating the fruit, he went turn on her. He, instead of defending, husbands, instead of turning on your wife, you defend her, all right? He turned on her and said, the woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit. And then what did Eve do? She turned, oh, the serpent went deceive me. And they started the blame game. Like, no. One famous pastor told me to blame is to be lame. Ooh, watch out, everybody gonna be using that. Oh, you kind of lame, eh? You be lame, blame. But yeah, and I learned when I mess up, the best thing is to come clean and come clean quickly. Making excuses and blaming others only delays the problem. When you screw up, say, it was my fault, I did it, let's find a solution. Done. Instead of like, you know, you ever did that? And every time the boss call you in the office, like, oh no, he found out. Oh no. And you know, if you just came clean, you don't have to worry about that. Repentance again, okay? Look to Jesus. Ephesians 1:7. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. His death points to two wonderful truths, redemption and forgiveness. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David was referencing hyssop in verse 7, and it was not an accident. He cleansed me with hyssop, he said. It's a tree branch, and he knows that the hyssop signifies purification. And with blood, he knows that the blood of God, the blood of Christ can make him whiter than snow. What he doesn't know is how this will be fully done. But you and I know that when Jesus shed his blood, it washed us clean. And he had done that once and for all for our forgiveness of sins by him sacrificing himself. So repentance is not more than saying, oh, well, I repent, forgive me, and it's done. Check that box, walk on. It's a lot more, and I will have more for you next week. But it is a lot more than just words. It is actions. It is things we do. We need to look at the scriptures. We need to really examine our life and really repent. I mean, think about it. Man, if you made a wrong turn and you seen four lanes of cars coming at you, how quickly would you repent? Would you stay there in the, just keep going the wrong direction? Weaving around things? I don't think so. And think of that. If I'm going the wrong direction, I would want to make that U-turn as quickly as I can, get right back on the right track, get right with God, get right with my brothers and sisters, and go the right way. Amen? Yes, you can put with your notes. We're going to do communion. Pastor, are you doing communion? James is doing communion. All right. Would you welcome Brother James up here? But you have the mic. Oh, okay. Thank you, James. You got your juice. Oh, they got. Oh, yeah. James needs one up here.
Morning. Pastor's message today was perfect for what I'm going to talk about too with communion. Anybody seen The Passion of Christ, the movie? And you watch how his body was broken down, how his blood was poured out. It was pretty graphic, and every time I watch it, I kind of cry, and it made me think about, they talk about the communion two times in the Bible. They talk about it in Luke and then in 1 Corinthians, and Paul, he's writing a letter to the Corinthians, and he heard some people are just doing communion just to eat and drink, and then he's basically telling them, your heart wasn't right when you do communion. And one of the scriptures in here is 1 Corinthians 20. When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. And then later on, he talks about in verse 27, so anyone who eats of this bread, drinks of this cup of the Lord, is unworthy and guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking of the cup. For if you eat of the bread and drink of the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon you. So I'd like to give everybody a chance just to get right with God, pray to Him, ask Him for forgiveness for whatever we've done, and just take some time right now to do that. In Luke 22:19, at the Last Supper, He took some of the bread, He gave thanks to God for it, then He broke it into pieces, and He gave it to His disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Everyone, take of the bread. And then in this same manner, He took up the cup of wine and said, this is the cup of the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Everybody, take the wine. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful, glorious day. Thank you for everything you blessed us with. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, as He died on that cross for our sins. Please forgive us for our sins and fill our hearts with your love. And we just give you all the thanks and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let us stand and let's worship our God.
Listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.